All right, welcome back, everybody. Mike, this is the moment we've all been waiting on.
Yes, it is. Here it is. I'm looking at it. It's a long time in the making. The Supreme Court complaint. I've been talking about this since they, you know, it'd be clear back when we made absolute proof.
Right.
At the end of it, I said something like, you know, this will end up coming out to down to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
That well, it's here, and it's been months in the works. And a lot of changes that the attorneys general, after talking to some of them, wanted different changes. Remember, this is their complaint.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, other attorneys that worked on it and stuff. And we're going to talk to one of them in a minute here. But I want to tell everybody what you can do before we get started. Because everyone's going, well, Mike, didn't you say that this was going to be filed on November 23rd? Yes, I did. This was the date that... that we put out there two or three weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, it's not my complaint. It's the Attorney General complaint. I put it out there. I wanted the media, mm-hmm. the Foxes of the world, to maybe start talking about it. But they went Fox on us. Nobody talked about it. Okay. And except for, of course, us. We, you know, we were flying around the country showing everyone the attorneys gave this. And we talked to many of the attorneys general, 20, 30, I mean, so many, it's, I've lost count. And go into a state, show them what happened there in your state. Remember, every state has standing. Every state, there was crime, election crime committed in every state. Of course, you have states like Alabama that think that they're perfect, you know. we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
But not just Alabama attorney general. I would like all of you, if you go to frankspeech.com, you can click on the Supreme Court case tab. We got it right on there, right?
It's right.
Supreme Court case. Click
the big banner. Complaint. It's actually a big banner.
Big banner, Supreme Court complaint. You can read it right there for yourself, but we're going to go through it here with one of the attorneys, Kurt Olson, that helped write this epic document, complaint. And but I want you all, when you get through it, and you're going to see what they've all looked at. And I want you to get on there, and I want you to email. We got it all set up. You click on your state. You click on that. It'll set up the email for you to email your attorney general. And that doesn't matter if you live in, like, my state of Minnesota. When we, you know, it'd be like a one in a trillion that our attorney general would sign up. But this isn't just a Republican or a Democrat thing. This is for the people of the United States. This is the people's complaint, as far as I'm
right.
concerned. This needs to be brought before the Supreme Court, and I didn't think that we'd have to go through a whole nother layer to get to the Supreme Court. You talk to these attorneys general, and they're going, you know, they're going, yeah. Well, as we're finding out, you know, and they, in some, you know, probably are very legitimate when they say, you know, we got so busy because of the, the mandates?
The mandate on the children, the shot mandate. Vaccine.
Yeah, that was just, this last week, I know four of the states that we had talked to, they said, they called me this last Sunday, mm-hmm. and said, you know, we got to have a brief ready for the Supreme Court or for the courts on Tuesday, November 23rd.
They're fighting the mandate.
November 23rd.
It.
So they're working hard out there. A lot of them are, but a lot of them are going to need you, because we don't want just a few. We want all of them on board. Everyone, every state, this affected everybody. We know what this 2020 election crime, the biggest crime in history, and we're in the middle of the biggest cover-up in history, and this is the start. And remember, and we go through this tonight, and we still have, you know, we've had a great Thanksgiving Day here so far, but this will be, you're all going to want to hear this. Get right now. I want you to reach out. Text, email, whatever, say, hey, it's coming on right now. They're going to go through the whole complaint. Get everybody you can watching frankspeech.com right now, okay? And this is going to be so important to what we do the rest of the week here, as, you know, we're going to have on Friday and Saturday, we're going to have kind of go through each state. We've got a lot of guests coming in. We're going to go through... how we got here, you know, and where we're at, and then on Sunday,
where we're going,
and it's going to be great.
Great. Thank you, Mike. All right, now joining us is Kurt Olson. He has been a litigator for 28 years. He's also a former Navy SEAL. Kurt, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brandon. Great to be here.
Give us a little bit more of your bio
hello,
as well.
Kurt. I just, before you get started with his bio, I want to say, Was it harder being a Navy SEAL or being a lawyer?
Well, it depends who your client is.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, go ahead. So, if you can tell us.
It's definitely good training.
So, Kurt, this is not new to you prior to writing this complaint. You've been involved in cases related to elections before, correct?
Yes. I was involved in the Texas v. Pennsylvania case that was filed on December 7th, 2020.
Okay, good. Do you mind if I just start going through it? I mean, I've marked the case up. I've got it. Do you mind if I just start going through it and reading some of it and have you comment and ask you questions about it?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. I'm going to start out on page one, the introduction. Last month, 56% of respondents agreed that, quote, it's likely that cheating affected the outcome of the 2020 presidential election, end quote. A 5% increase since April 2021. You know, some of these questions I might ask you are subjective, but I wonder if that number is going up because as more Americans come to realize this kind of Marxist revolution we're going through, this color revolution, they're starting to realize, you know, maybe this didn't all go down the way we were told by the media. Why do you think more and more people, because the media is not telling them what we're telling them, what do you think is causing more and more people to join the idea that some cheating was involved? I mean, it's 5% increase since April 2021.
Yeah, I think the tenacity of the American people who know something was done wrong in this election, they're not giving up. And so it's the hardworking grassroots who have continued to pursue evidence of election fraud. And they are the true heroes in this. And that's what's really going to be required to get our country back. It's going to be the grassroots and people not giving up on this issue. Because if we don't fix 21st.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point, because if the media is not telling them, which they're not, the only reason these numbers are going up is because it is organic. It's coming from the people. And they're spreading the information.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's very hopeful.
And they're bypassing the mainstream media.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the great innovations has been the alternative media, because the word is getting out through alternative media.
And FrankSpeech.com. 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 Everybody, did you hear this? Even lawyers are coming to FrankSpeech.com to get their facts. Okay? Yep. That's serious. And it is. It's not just the media. I think a part of it too is it's not just where people are getting their news now. It's also their eyes are getting opened up because they're seeing all these horrific things going on that they're you know, if you're on the side of a team that you know won and you know there was crime committed and you're going, but you don't want to believe it because you benefit from it. Well, now all of a sudden you don't benefit from it because nobody's benefiting from it. And it's opening your eyes more and you're seeing it more. Of course, I think these numbers are, if I was going to give numbers, 86% of people know this election was stolen. But that's me being subjective.
Yeah. But I think you're right. More people are now, they had a presupposition is what you're saying. Right. They went in with a presupposition. Right. That's my party. I voted for that candidate. I like that guy. Now all of a sudden they're like, okay, I'm going to check my presupposition and see if reality is really accurate.
And your eyes are more open when things are starting to affect you that manifested from this criminal.
Willing to look at data you otherwise would not even consider. Well, let me go to the next one.
I also think it's important to realize that every time somebody looks at election fraud, the authorities try to suppress it. And so it raises the question, what are they trying to hide? Mm. And I'll give you one example. You have in Wisconsin, Speaker Voss appointed the Office of the Special Counsel, which is former Chief Justice Gableman. He's been investigating election fraud and irregularities in Wisconsin. What happened? The Wisconsin Election Commission, represented by the Attorney General in Wisconsin, has sued former Chief Justice Gableman to stop his subpoenas.
Wow.
And so it really does get into what are they trying to hide? Elections should be free and transparent. There should be nothing to hide.
Absolutely. Something's wrong. In the complaint, we read, for example, in Pennsylvania, after all counties had finally uploaded their official November 2020 election results, there was still 49,171 more votes than voters. Just one of many examples of illegal votes. Under express Pennsylvania law, the election should not have been certified. Kurt?
That's correct. Under that express statute, the election should not have been certified or the votes should not have been recorded from any district or precinct in which they were out of bounds, in which there were more votes than voters. And that statute requires, and it's laid out in the complaint, it requires there be an investigation first to determine why there are more votes than voters before any of the votes in that district or precinct can be recorded. And so it's not just simply an issue of 49,000 more votes than voters. It's that anywhere that situation existed in Pennsylvania, none of those votes should have been recorded until somebody got to the bottom of why that situation existed. And so Pennsylvania is, I mean, it's a prime example. At the time, then Secretary Buchbar certified the votes on November 24th, 2020, there were over 700,000 more votes than voters.
Wow.
And the excuse was, well, not all counties had reported. Well, there's no exception in the statute for that. They just bull rushed through. And even in December 28th, there were still 205,000 more votes than voters. And Secretary Buchbar, or then Secretary Buchbar, took out a press release saying, well, you know, that situation just, you know, again, not all counties had reported. Well, now we know, because as of February 2021, we know all counties have reported, and there's still, as you just mentioned, more than 49,000 more votes than voters. This election in Pennsylvania should have never been certified under the express statute in that state.
And we can do this with Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan. I mean, we can keep going down and just look at their own state laws that were broken.
Correct. There is a common pattern, though, in all the state laws that were broken in terms of before the election. All of the states uniformly weakened their mail-in ballot integrity measures. That's signature verification, that's using unmanned drop boxes. Those were the two primary methods by which, when this flood of mail-in ballots, and it was a flood, tens of millions of more ballots came into the system under the guise it was necessary because of COVID. And all of the checks and balances with respect to whether these mail-in ballots were real, from real voters or from fake voters, were done away with in these states. All of them followed a common pattern with that. They weakened ballot security measures. And I would say the issues when you know, people talk about mail-in ballot is secure and everything else, the Baker-Carter Commission, which is cited in our complaint, was a commission that specifically looked at these issues back in 2005. And they found that mail-in voting was the most likely method by which fraud could occur. And that's for obvious reasons, because the chain of custody, the controls around it, are greatly diminished versus in-person voting.
Hey, Kurt, you bring up the one thing with Pennsylvania. That's so easy for everybody to understand, is you can't, they in their, in Pennsylvania law, so I'll make sure I'm saying this right, in their law, it's a law that you can have, you cannot turn in your electors if you have more people that voted than registered. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Well, the law states that before any votes from a district in which there are more votes than voters, before any of those votes can be recorded, and there's a number of things that must happen, but there must be an investigation to determine why that situation exists. There was no investigation in Pennsylvania, at least that's ever been announced.
Right. But if you, but with more votes, so they ended up with, what was it, 50,000?
49,171.
Over 49,000 votes. My question is, so what if they investigated? What if they investigated it and they found out there were still 49,000 votes over the people that voted? 49,000 names, you know.
Yeah, I think that's obviously a situation that means that something's wrong, so they could not be recorded.
I just wanted to say that, because everybody out there, I want to tell you what we found is, as I was taking my team state by state, getting their voter rolls, getting the people that voted, getting their registration voters afterwards. Sometimes you had to pay, like Alabama, $30,000+. We paid for it. And what we found was there were so many counties and where there was more people that voted or precinct, more people that voted than lived there. And I think that's something easy for everyone to understand. Remember, one of the big lies they told us, this came up back in November and December, you'd hear stories like, wow, we had a 99% turnout,
right,
Brandon.
Right.
99%. Someplace we had 100% turnout. Never happened in history, but everyone in your mind, you're going, well, I suppose because they didn't have to come, they could just mail their vote in. But when you hear 105%,
right,
I think everybody can go, wrong answer. There's something very wrong. Yeah. There's been a crime committed, you know?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Well, this is just the introduction, so let me keep moving. So let's jump from Pennsylvania to, if you look on the screen, we'll try to keep up on the screen. You can actually see and read along with me. This September, meaning September 2021, it was revealed that election officials in Maricopa County, Arizona, were caught red-handed destroying election records from the November 2020 election in violation of federal law. So we don't only have state laws being broken, we have federal law being broken. And I don't know if you're referring to what I'm about to mention, but we know in Maricopa County, according to Senate Majority Whip Senator Borelli, they're on video deleting files.
I did see that. And I believe that video has been referred to the Attorney General in Arizona to investigate. What appears
because
to be
federal law requires them to hold those images for 22 months. That's federal law, not to mention whatever their state law might be.
So the images that, so there's two things. One, the three individuals that were referred to destroying records, that's just the video images. What they were destroying were electronic records from the 2020 election, which are still election records that are required to be preserved.
For 22 months, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I want to interject there because there's stuff that not in the complaint, which we all know. Remember, the sheriff's department says you can't see the routers. And then they find out that the breach came through the sheriff's department, allegedly. Okay, I use that word, allegedly. So they don't want to give up the routers. Now, I've also heard they didn't get ballot images. There was just stuff. It's supposed to be a full forensic audit and this massive audit that was going on, but yet they still had to go through mud to get to it. Now, I encourage everyone in Arizona to encourage your attorney general there to get going on this, on that investigation, because you know what? These people that did these crimes, there's a lot of explaining to go on and down in Arizona of all these. And these are a lot of them where you see these unexplainable things were Republicans.
Right.
Starting with their governor, Doug Ducey. I don't know. but what you've got in here, Kurt, when you put in, you're putting in this complaint, these are things that nobody can dispute, that they're 100% evidence, caught red-handed, destroying election records, now committing a crime. So you can't, when we hear things out there, people say, or like the 50,000 votes over the people that voted in Pennsylvania, these are facts. So the next time you hear someone at the dinner table tell you that there's no evidence, every time I read about myself, I'm going, Mike Lindell, conspiracy theory, there's no evidence of election fraud.
Debunked.
No, they say no evidence. I think that sentence has been written so many times, probably even more than the word dominion. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I hear that, and I see it many times described as debunked. I'm like, well, who debunked it? How can you debunk a fact?
Right.
It's fact.
Right.
How do you refute
and
a fact?
That was a joke on it's the true. Dominion, because the only one that says dominion anymore is me.
Is you, right. All right, so let's keep going. Also in September of 20... Now, this one's very interesting, because we've spent a lot of time talking about this one.
Right.
So as Kurt, I'm sure, in September 2021, a renowned cyber security expert, University of Michigan professor J. Alex Holderman, revealed in a Georgia federal court. Now, I want to make sure people understand, we're now in the federal court, a Georgia federal court, that he had conclusively demonstrated that Dominion voting system machines used in at least 16 states can be easily hacked to, quote, steal votes, end quote. Inexplicably, the district court denied Professor Halderman's request to strategically unseal his expert report detailing these systemic vulnerabilities for the limited purpose of bringing it to the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to attempt to fix these issues before the next election. Well, why on earth would, I mean, again, I know it's maybe subjective on your part, but why would any federal district court not release that, particularly when you're trying to bring it to the government in the Department of Homeland Security, of which this is a part of, so that we don't have this problem in the next election?
It's inexplicable to me. I mean, to me, in my opinion, there's no reason why that report not only should be given to CISA, but it should be given to to officials in the 16 states that he says, Professor Halderman says, are at risk of having their elections hacked into and votes stolen. He's saying that he is prepared to demonstrate proof of concept. He can show exactly how it's done. He says in his declaration that other actors may already know about these vulnerabilities and are prepared to take advantage of them. And yet this 25,000 word expert report that he's drafted, which is under seal, is being kept from the public. It's being kept from officials that can do something about it. And there is no reason that I can think of why that situation would occur.
I can think of one. Let's read the end of that sentence there. You didn't read the rest of it. Professor Halderman also testified that Georgia's Secretary of State, who?
Raffensperger,
a defendant in that case, refused to even look at the report or meet with him to go over these dangerous security vulnerabilities. Remember, we talked about Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia. We talked about him earlier today with Jenna Ellis about that famous call with President Trump, where they said straight out, after they said, hey, all these people that can't vote in the state, from people that were dead, people that didn't live there, all these lists. And when he said to Raffensperger, the president said, well, find some of these. Let's get some of these. I only lost by 11,000, whatever. And Brad said, those are the wrong numbers. And then the president said, where'd we get these numbers? He said, sir, we got them from Brad. Hmm. I mean, it is inexplicable.
Isn't this the same guy? Which guy was involved in the $107 million contract with Dominion?
No, that's his buddy.
Brian Kemp.
Mm-hmm. That's the Brian down in Georgia.
So you got two problems in the Secretary of State and Georgia, the governor.
When you have Republicans, I tell you, when they do these things, the pushback, and then both of them are talking about election integrity. Those are going to be the number one and two people behind bars. I'm telling you, that's the only thing you can explain. Look what they're blocking down there. Kurt, you know, I know you've said it before. How important is it to our country that this Halderman report would be released to show these other 16 states? I mean, how about the attorneys general that are out there? Wouldn't they want to know, and their secretary of states and their states, wouldn't they want to get this report?
I would certainly hope so, because this goes to the integrity of elections. I mean, you can just look at Professor Halderman's declaration, which is an exhibit to the complaint, and he is raising the alarm. He says this situation is, quote, urgent.
Right.
And he is just simply asking to give it to CISA. He's already emailed officials at CISA. They have responded that they would like to see the report and to work with him.
Right.
And the report is still not being released.
Okay, so a judge can order that, a report that's so important to our country. A judge has the power to say, nobody gets to look at it. And what is he saving it for? And so Raffensperger can somehow get out of his shenanigans that he pushed this. My opinion is they're probably pushing it down the road like everything else to get past the 2022 election so we lose our country forever. That's my opinion.
And this would be some of your controlled opposition, obviously, then.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if... you mean the judges?
No, the Republicans, the controlled opposition.
Oh, the Republicans, these ones, they're just criminal. When you got Brad Raffensperger, Brian Kemp, Doug Ducey, I'm sorry, you can't explain it. That one Republican, we got to get his name, that one a Republican that's blocking the Senate in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
That's blocking the Senate from pulling down the electors in Arizona. One guy is blocking that, you know. But this is what, if you're out there, and you know, we should have a thing. I think we'll put up on Frank's speech here before the weekend's out. We're going to put up an email for this court or this judge, and say why can't we, the American people, or at least this guy, even get his own report? He's not even asking to give it publicly. He wants to turn it into a government to Homeland Security. Is that correct, Kurt?
His declaration, he is simply asking the judge for permission to unseal it for the limited purpose of turning it over to CISA so they can analyze these vulnerabilities and try to fix them.
Which is part of the Department of Homeland Security.
Pardon me?
Right? Which is part of the Department of Homeland Security, right?
Yes. CISA stands for the Cybersecurity and Information Security Agency.
And what could be a bigger Homeland Security issue than making sure we have one person, one vote, free and fair elections, and don't have enemies, foreign and domestic, trying to carry out a color revolution?
Well, in my opinion, everybody should understand and appreciate the vulnerabilities of these machines. The idea that you enhance security by keeping these vulnerabilities only in the hands of a few so that the public can't see it. This is a public operation. This is voting. It is the most inherently public function of our government. It goes to the very foundation of how we select our officials. And so the idea that the public shouldn't know every single vulnerability with these machines, to me, is flat wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Either the machines are secure or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, the public needs to know. And they need to know why.
Well, they know they're not secure because if they were, they would gladly do everything we're asking, because they would say, see, you guys are all crazy. They're secure.
Right.
They know they're not secure, and there's a lot of money floating around in these contracts. Page 3, we can show this on the screen. This October, meaning 2021, the Racine County, Wisconsin sheriff announced the results of a felony criminal investigation of the Wisconsin Election Commission into illegal vote harvesting in nursing homes. The sheriff stated that governing, quote, election statute was in fact not just broken, but shattered, end quote, in all 72 counties across Wisconsin, and referred the case for prosecution. The validity of up to 50,000 ballots may be at issue as a consequence. Now, this is interesting because, again, people say, well, no, you know, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Well, here's a sheriff who's done an investigation, and now he's recommending a criminal investigation. 50,000 ballots may be an issue as to the consequence. And yet, what the margin of victory in Wisconsin was a little over 10,000.
20,000.
Right? That's about 20,000.
Around 20,000. Around 20,000.
But it's not, he's not recommending an investigation. He's recommending, and I believe he has actually referred charges. I saw it reported today against, I believe it's 5 of the Wisconsin Election Commission officials. He's referred charges.
Criminal charges.
For prosecution.
Criminal.
Correct.
Did everyone hear that? So let's just now we're up to 2. Remember, Pennsylvania, they can't turn in their electors because more people voted than they had. It says more people voted than were registered to vote.
Right.
Okay. So they have to pull theirs down. Wisconsin, there you have 50-some thousand ballots right there, and they lost, and Donald Trump lost by 20,000.
That's just one issue of many in Wisconsin.
That's just one. I'm just showing how easy it is when they say there's no evidence. That's just there. Boom. There's evidence. Boom. Take it down, and then you've got every one of these states where there's something in there. Go ahead.
Well, Mike, there's one other thing to add, and it goes to what we discussed earlier about how the media is suppressing this information. And we had talked to several AGs, and none of them knew about the Racine County Sheriff referring criminal charges against the Wisconsin Election Commission. And this should be national news.
Right, that's the point I was going to make.
And this is what we're talking about, Kurt. We've been talking about all day here on Thanksgiving is this. We have the enemy, the biggest enemy we have. This could
media.
Never, you can't pull off the biggest crime in history unless you have the media.
Right.
You start before the election, you start with the propaganda. Texas could turn blue. You know what they did in Wisconsin? I was right there next door to Minnesota. The big thing there was, oh, yes, Biden's up by 5. And all of a sudden, it, like, changed in one day to up by 17. So they condition you that you're going to lose, you know, lose Wisconsin. Minnesota, I probably campaigned every state. I know every inch of Minnesota. And I knew he was going to win Minnesota. Donald Trump was going to win Minnesota. But the polls came out. Oh, he's even. And all of a sudden, boom. In one day, I think the president was coming there to do a rally. And all of a sudden said he was down by 12. And we're going, what changed overnight? Well, there it was a conditioning to prepare you for them taking it and going, well, you know, it kind of matched the polls. And by the way, everybody, and this is, we'll talk, we're going to be talking about all the states this weekend, going through every state, including Minnesota, Indiana, New Hampshire, every single state, to tell you what happened in your state and what's going on in your state. This isn't all about the five, you know, these five swing states that we're talking about in this case here. Because there's these are just ones that can pull this election down very fast because they wrongly said that their election was good election, you know. I hope Doug Ducey's right now. I still can't believe what we've seen earlier today when Jenna said that, and when they're right in the middle of the hearings showing the evidence on a few stations only, and then he says, yep, we're good over here in Arizona. Mm. Kurt, I want to say what we were talking about when you talk about it's the AGs of these not like half this was new to them, like this, you know, these sheriffs, this with these nursing homes. We talked about four things the media does. What was it? It was manipulation.
Manipulation, disinformation.
Disinformation.
It was also controlled opposition.
Controlled opposition.
And election deflection.
Election deflection. Today or yesterday, we had a good example of election deflection. You know, we had a little protest going on over there at Fox, everybody, yesterday. I hope you've seen the we showed it earlier today. We'll show it again throughout the weekend. But we had people there that some guy had even rented a truck. And
big sign.
Big sign on that. But when I turned on Fox, I was looking at Fox just to see if they mentioned something about the protesters. And here it is with all the things going on in our country, the terrible things going on. You know what Fox was talking about? For about 15 minutes, maybe even longer, where Joe Biden was going to spend his Thanksgiving. Can you believe it? Why everything's going on, he's spending it in a mansion, a rich guy's mansion. And I'm thinking, wow, this is just election deflection.
Yep.
You know, in a day when I say that, it's to deflect anything. Just like in Afghanistan, a week later comes out with that, oh yeah, if you have 100 or more people, you got to go, it's a mandate, you got to go get the shot. So everybody swoops in there all worried. And in fact, a lot of our AGs right now are doing just that.
Right.
They're trying to stop all this stuff, these
kids.
Mandates. But in the meantime, nobody's looking at 2020. We are. And a lot of people are, and we all have to, because if you don't fix that, you lost your country.
Well, in fact, to your point right there, if you don't fix this, you have lost your country.
Yeah, it's over.
This, to me, what we're about to go into right now, to me personally, I mean, everybody else can read it and decide for themselves. But to me, what we're about to discuss right now on page 3 and the top of page 4 is the crux of why we will lose our country. Let me read this. It says right here, in the months leading up to the November 2020 election, a few non-legislative officials in the defendant states used the COVID-19 pandemic as an excuse to unconstitutionally revise or violate their state's election laws. Their actions had one effect: to uniformly weaken security measures put in place by state legislators to protect the integrity of the vote. These changes squarely violated the Electors Clause of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, vesting state legislators with plenary authority to make election laws. These government officials then flooded defendant states with millions of illegal ballots to be sent through the mails or placed in drop boxes with little or no chain of custody as required by law. Now look, this is where we're going to get to the root of why this is the end of your country. You don't fix it. top of page four. Second, the United States' failure to challenge defendant states' violations of Article II, including a time when four of eight justices had evenly split on whether to hear such violations in October of 2020, violated the Take Care Clause and the Guarantee Clause of the Constitution, commanding that the executive, quote, shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed, end quote, and that, quote, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government, end quote. A stolen election, as the November 2020 election was, neither faithfully executes the law nor provides a Republican form of government. And why that's so important is, you know, Kurt, we are a representative republic. We give authority. We are a people who are ruled by the governed of the consent under a constitutional republic. We have certain frameworks we can't get out of. William Blackstone was asked, the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, what is a constitutional republic? And he said, what the divine has ruled on, we don't rule against. In the instance of murder, murder will always be wrong. But if you want to, because the divine's ruled, thou shalt not murder. But if you want to export wool to France, the divine's silent on that. So go right ahead. So a constitutional republic puts a box. We're in a box. And we can't go outside the laws of the divine or the laws of nature, nature's God, or the Decalogue, as the founders referred. Okay, so we have parameters because the founders understood the hearts of men were increasingly evil. With that being said, another nature of our republic is representative government, or the idea, the principle of agency. Just like we hire an attorney, you can fire your attorney. You hire an insurance agent, you can fire your insurance agent. So that's the principle of agency. We give representation to our elected officials, in this case, your state legislature, to represent you. That we're the boss, they represent us, principle of agency. This is one of the things that makes us a constitutional republic with the people. Now, if that is not maintained, as stated here in this case, you don't have a Republican form of government anymore. And the whole coming together in the Constitution, a union of states, and those territories had to submit an application that they would become a constitutional republic before they could be accepted into the union. So we're a union of states that are themselves constitutional republics. So if you destroy the constitutional republics, then what is our union based on? And if we don't have a republic as our form of government, we really don't have government at all. We're now living under might makes right, the law of tooth and claw, right?
If you don't have election integrity and a true voting result, then you don't have a republican form of government. You have an oligarchy. You have tyranny, you have whatever it is, right. But it's not a Republican form of government.
So if everybody is unhappy with mask mandates, men's vaccination, 37% of truckers now, according to the CEO of the American Truckers Association, are saying they're going to walk off the job if they're forced to have vaccines. Nurses are walking away from 20-year careers. I mean, if people don't like that, if they don't like the fact that you have the FBI through the Justice Department talking about investigating moms for being critical of mask mandates or critical race theory, if you don't like seeing people's doors busted down because they are speaking out, all of this is what happens when you cease to be a constitutional republic. And so to everybody that thinks, oh, you know, let's just move forward and not look back, and, you know, we don't need to fix 2020. If you don't fix 2020, then you know what? They have the justification to do what they're doing because we've just thrown out a constitutional republic, which means now there's no rule of law. And I just hosted 4 one-hour town hall meetings November 11th with 4 distinguished retired FBI agents, one of them having been the assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, Terry Turchi. He said right now, he said, quote, America is no longer under the rule of law. That's shocking coming from a guy that worked up on the 7th floor briefing then FBI director Louis Freeh. Well, how do you get where you don't have a rule of law? When you've destroyed your constitutional republic and the union that brought you together, that you confirmed the compact being the Constitution, right? The supreme law of the land.
Which brings up, I want to cut in here. It's very passionate. wow, I don't even know, there's a lot of big words thrown out there. I'm going to sum it up right there. Right now is a good time to do a little advertising. Right now, you get on there, on the Frank speech, go down to where it says Supreme Court complaint. You click on it, you go to your state, and you send that email out to your attorney general. And you say, you know what? We need to save our country. It's your responsibility now, you attorneys general. You need to all sign. You need to get this signed. No more excuses. No more excuses. I'm too busy. We should never be too busy for the number one thing that's ruined our country and ruining our country, and that is the 2020 election. Have we got to the part where standing? Let's keep going.
Let's skip from page 4 to page 7. In addition, on January 7th, 2021, the Director of National Intelligence, DNI, concluded an unclassified memorandum that, quote, now this is really interesting, quote, CIA management took actions pressuring analysts to withdraw their support, end quote, for findings regarding Chinese actions to, quote, interfere, end quote, in the election. This is very interesting because now you have the CIA wanting to cover up what China's doing. There's a little bit of a problem here, Kurt.
Kurt, what do you make of that on there? I know we've brought that. I've even brought that up, everybody, because remember, I got my evidence on January 9th that explained everything, that these machines were used and China was involved. And here, John Radcliffe warned of this. Is that right, Kurt?
Warned of what exactly?
Let me read it again. CIA management took actions pressuring analysts to withdraw their support for findings regarding China's actions to interfere, end quote, after the January 7th Director of National Intelligence,
the
unclassified memorandum.
Yeah, and not only that, he found that those actions violated what are called tradecraft standards. And so, the best information is supposed to be given to the president from the intelligence community. And so what Radcliffe is saying, that the CIA was pressuring analysts from giving their opinion that China interfered with the election.
Wow.
And that raises a whole host of questions. Yeah, at least in my mind. Right.
Well, again, my opinion, I interviewed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. a week or so ago, and he went into great detail on how the CIA was taking part in October of 2019 with desktop scenarios for a pandemic. The CIA was involved at high levels. That's a little interesting that they knew this was supposedly coming. And now you're telling me the CIA is somehow involved in covering up interference in our election by China? I mean, what team are they playing for? But then again, let's remember, the CIA was inflicted with John Brennan, who became CIA director under Obama, who admitted for voting for communist presidential candidate Gus Hall. So you start to wonder, how clean is the CIA?
Well, the letter does raise questions, and that letter in its entirety is an exhibit to the complaint. And that is available online to click on for anybody to read for themselves. There's another significant aspect in that letter by then DNI Radcliffe. He goes on to talk about how the conventional wisdom was proven wrong. And he cites the Cuban Missile Crisis situation when the conventional wisdom was that the Soviets had not moved missiles onto Cuba.
Right.
And then that was later proven wrong when a U-2 spy plane photographed those missile sites. And so DNI Radcliffe, in my opinion, is kind of laying the groundwork to allow for future evidence that China did not interfere in our elections to be proven wrong, just as the conventional wisdom was proven wrong with the Cuban missile situation.
Point 10, ballots cast.
Where are you at?
I'm on point 10 on page 7. Let's start with since December 11th, 2020, that the number of ballots cast in violation of Elector's Clause and Due Process Clause in defendant states exceeds the reported margin separating the candidates and thus the validity of the presidential electors from those states. So in other words, we have this problem in several states, not just one state, where the margin of victory is where we've got a problem.
That's correct. And let's be clear, the unconstitutional nature of what these non-legislative actors did in the defendant states affects hundreds of thousands or millions of ballots. That's not that every one of them was a fraudulent ballot, but they changed the laws in a way that you can't verify that or reduced measures that would ensure the integrity. So when, for example, Secretary of State Benson in Michigan ruled that the signature verification requirements that the legislature put out no longer had to be followed. Well, that's millions of ballots. There were six times more mail-in ballots in 2020 than in 2016. And a Michigan Court of Claims ruled in March of 2021 that what she did was invalid, that she did not have the authority to change those requirements as to signature verification.
When you say invalid, you mean illegal. She did an illegal act. Isn't it illegal? Why do we say what she did was invalid? It's against the law, right?
Well, she exceeded her authority, so therefore it was illegal. She had no authority to make those changes to election law.
Right.
And that's a constitutional violation. It affects millions of ballots. And here, as I just said, we have a court ruling that what she did violate and exceed her authority.
Let's go to page 12.
Another one. Wait, I'll put her on my prison list here. No, I'm serious. It's disgusting.
Let's go to page 12, legal background. Okay. We'll start at legal background. Okay. And then I'll explain why this is really, you know, this is so important. Because what I'm going to go to on that then is page 13, page 13, number 31. But before we get to that, which has to do with the states, I mean, we know in the first presidential election, citing from this case, six of the 10 states that appointed electors did so by direct legislative appointment. In the second presidential election, nine of the 15 states that appointed electors did so by direct legislative appointment, number 33.33. In the third presidential election of the U.S., in our country, nine of 16 states that appointed electors did so by direct legislative appointment. This practice persisted in lesser degrees through the election of 1860. Why is that important? What does that have to do with this election, 2020?
I think that the significance of that is that we have been moving away to where the electors are chosen through the popular vote in the state. And so that's just merely a historical reference. The way it was done before is that the electors were chosen by the legislature themselves, as opposed to through a popular vote.
Which does not, and I guess the reason I marked it up to bring up was, does this in any way shed light onto the power the state legislators have in regards to certification and decertification of elections?
It is part of the background nature of it. And so the legislature under Article 2 sets the manner of elections. And that's their responsibility. It's called plenary authority. Nobody else has that authority. No judge does, no state official does. You know, only the state legislature has that authority.
Well, and then this goes back to us again being a nation, you know, that's governed by the consent of the people. I'll go to page 14 now, number 36. As Justice Thomas stated in his dissent in United States Term Limits versus Thornton in 1995, quote, he wrote, Justice Thomas wrote, quote, "Our system of government rests on one overriding principle. All power stems from the consent of the people." To phrase the principle in this way, however, is to be imprecise about something important to the notion of reserve powers. The ultimate source of the Constitution's authority is the consent of the people of each individual state, not the consent of the undifferentiated people of the nation as a whole, end quote. And so when you have people that are disenfranchised, you know, you always hear about the liberals. The liberals always talk about, well, those racist whoever, they're disenfranchising voters. Reality is, no, we're the ones fighting that. Because if you have not the state legislators setting the laws for how an election is run, but bureaucrats who break state law, as we've already discussed, and make the laws up as they go along, and those state actions infringe on the vote by canceling out the vote of someone else in another state, which it does at the federal level for federal elections, then we're no longer tallying votes that are about the consent of the people. Now that's the bigger point, is it not?
Well, it's that point, but it's also the notion that under our Constitution, it's a compact amongst the people of each state. And so the Constitution is the framework by which all of the states agree to abide by, and the people within those states. So when we came together as a constitutional republic, everybody in each state agreed to the same set of rules. So if somebody in another state doesn't follow those rules, that affects the other people in the other states that agreed to play by the rules. Because again, the Constitution is a compact amongst the people of each state. And so everybody agrees to play by the same rules.
It's like a marriage. You agree to the rules, and if someone doesn't agree to the rules, the marriage, you know, you've got a problem. You know, how do you keep going? How do you have a union or a marriage of these states if all of a sudden everybody agreed to the rules, i.e. our constitutional republic at the state and federal level? Now a bunch of the states don't want to agree to that. Well, how do we have a union anymore?
Okay, Brandon's not trying to splitting up our country right now. I think divorce is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Or a marriage, but I mean...
What he's saying is that
having a union...
The states are union. Like when the president gives a state of the union address, we are the United States of America or the union. I mean, how do you have a union if half the people don't want to follow the rules?
So we're, as long as we're on that, it's probably further in the complaint here, Kurt, but and I want to bring up something that is relevant here. But I know when you were telling me about when you talk about these states, so you have states that didn't play by the rules and that are still the obstruction that's going on in some of these five states to this day, even as yesterday. You were saying the standing, or I mean, having the states have standing, that actually affects the standing, right? Because now, why are we that far? Is that later in the complaint when we talk about the standing, where the states have standing now because of these other five states not following the rules, and now it affects them where because of the 50-50 Senate. Is that correct?
Well, there's two bases for standing that are pled in the complaint. The overarching principle is that the Constitution is a compact amongst the peoples of each state and to play by the same set of rules. In the complaint, we allege that fraud and illegal ballots in the five defendant states brings the electoral count below 270. And that in that situation, which for standing purposes you accept as true when you're looking at standing, every state has a right pursuant to the 12th Amendment to pursue an election for president and vice president pursuant to that framework that's set out in the 12th Amendment. And that right was denied. And so every state has a right to pursue an election under the 12th Amendment, and the denial of that right gives rise to standing. That's basis number one. The second basis is because we do have a unique situation after the Georgia runoff election in January, where the Senate became a 50-50 Senate, that makes the vice president, in this case, Vice President Kamala Harris, the tie-breaking vote. And because we've alleged, or it's alleged in the complaint, that the election of the president and the vice president was illegal and not valid, having the vice president, Kamala Harris, cast the deciding vote in the Senate injures all of the other states she cast the deciding vote against all of the other states who, if the proper president had been elected, their vote would not have been disenfranchised.
Right, right.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Well, that's the standing where before the case that was brought last year out of Texas, when they denied it 7-2, wasn't that a standing issue also where they said they didn't have standing then? Is that correct?
Yeah, no, the court dismissed the case on standing and did not articulate a basis, really, other than saying that there was no standing.
Right. That's really important. Right. This is really important. Everybody watching, I think this is one of the most important things you need to hear tonight, and all you attorneys general, too, that are watching. This case, there's standing, where before, even though, you know, it's arguable that there was standing last time before the Supreme Court, But since they're the Supreme Court, we're going to say they said there wasn't standing. This time, Kurt Olson just got done telling you, this case, there is standing. There's two different ways that they're standing. Mm-hmm. I want to tell, that's really important. We want to come back to that. If you can tell, because you're going to be asked that out there, Mr. Public, Mr. Miss Public that's out there. You're going to be asked at Thanksgiving here and all through this 96 hours Thanksgiving we have going on. That case now, that didn't have standing. It didn't have standing. How does it have standing? You just heard that. And this does have standing. Very important. I want to bring up one thing on here that we talked to, or that wasn't, Brandon, I didn't see it shown on your thing there.
Page 19
and number 52 on November 12th, because we brought this up before, and I think this is where Chris Krebs said this, whatever, but it says, the November 2020 elections, members of the Elections Infrastructure Government Coordinating Council and the Election Infrastructure Sector Coordinated Election Committees. Boy, that's a long, boy, they got a powerful big name there.
Their business cards must be horrible.
that big long name issued a joint statement declaring, everybody listen now, no, the November 3rd election was the most secure in American history, end quote. Remember, we've all heard that so many times. The media has used that. The purveyors of this statement provided no support for this bald-faced assertion. And that language there, assertion, let's just call it a lie, okay? A big old lie. But it says here, in an ironic twist, 4 weeks later, everybody. Now, I'm just finding this out. I mean, you know, because I'm sure that Fox didn't report it back then. On December 13th, 2020, the U.S. government announced the largest cyber attack in the country's history, affecting more than 18,000 public and private organizations, including at least one voting machine company. Now, that's a fact, but it's a fact there where it says, announced the largest cyber attack in the country's history, affecting more than this. Now, it announced the largest. Well, I'm gonna fact check there right now. If I'm Alan Duke for the Facebook fact checkers, I'm gonna look at that and I'm gonna say, this is not true. You know why that's not true? Because there's been a larger cyber attack, Brandon, and that was the cyber attack on our country on November 3rd, which affected the whole world basically. Mm-hmm. So that's, I just wanted to point that out, Kurt. In this, and then also everybody, we talked about that before with Chris Krebs. He also, the same people that said this, you not only had the cyber attack, but remember, about 3 months after that, he was on MSNBC with Adam Shifty, or is it Shifty?
Schiff. Yeah. Shift. Some call him Shifty.
Right, right. But Adam Schiff, and they're asking them, what's the biggest threat to the United States right now as you see it? And they both said, a cyber attack by China, right down to the local races.
Yep, absolutely.
End quote.
We have it on video.
It's in the documentary Kill Chain, I believe.
Absolute
Interference. It's in our video, Absolute Interference, which y'all seen last night. So Kurt, that's a very interesting, it's great that it's included there. It's, you know, that because what we're talking about today, everybody, is trying to bring you back to stuff that you didn't hear back then because of the media, or that they've been lying to you over and over and over and over again. And this is, there is evidence. I mean, there's evidence, but there's also so much disinformation. So
yeah, let me go back to page 50.
I encourage everybody to go to tab 4, which is where Colonel Mills' declaration is attached. And he gives a very strong history. He's been involved in the cybersecurity world for nearly 40 years, including at, I believe, the National Security Council staff, and was actually there. If you see in his declaration, he's also a Durham whistleblower.
When you say tab 4, what do you mean by tab 4?
It's tab 4 is where the exhibits, that's the exhibit 4, it's under tab 4. That's Colonel, that should be Colonel Mills' declaration.
Right here, table of
contents. Oh, you don't want table of contents?
Yeah, four. Okay. Yeah, no, it's way back in four in the back.
So there are a number of exhibits attached to the
complaint. Right. Oh, yeah, there is. Would that be it here?
Count one, count two, count
three. Well, we ran them off on a book here, so I don't know.
No, that's not on the counts, but there are exhibits to the complaint. They're part of an appendix.
Oh, that's what you emailed to me. Yeah, separately. Website. Okay, separately. Okay. Did we interrupt you? Were you going to say anything else?
No, I was going to say that Colonel Mills is also a whistleblower. He has whistleblower status. Uh-huh. And in his declaration, he talks, you know, that he has turned over significant documents to Durham, who is investigating what we all know.
Right. Back on page 15, number 38, I think we have to finish this real quick because it brings it full circle. Independently, a government implemented through a stolen election is not a Republican form of government. And of course, again, we're not talking about Republican Party. We're talking about a republic as in a representative republic, et cetera, et cetera. And then you go down, you cite some court cases. The key features of a Republican form of government are a right to vote and a right of political participation. Well, we had some people show up at the polls and say, I'm here to vote. Well, I'm sorry, you can't vote. You've already voted. No, I didn't. Well, so they never got a chance to participate
and
vote.
The way I look at it, too, none of us participate because if you press the button and nothing happens behind the curtain, I mean, it's
right.
But you are correct. How many thousands, tens of thousands of people? That also happened, everybody, in the runoff in California. We had people on the ground there. Now, remember, we've seen 300,000 votes flip right on CNN from a yes to a no, take down Newsom. And we had not thousands. You couldn't even count them all on the ground. You heard it everywhere. People got there to vote, and they go, Nate, you already voted. You already voted. And we also found this in a lot of states where we went there to canvass, and we went there and got their voter rolls. Let's say you had pretty clean voter rolls. Well, you know what they did there, Brandon, is all they did there is their people would get to vote, and they figured they were unlikely to vote, and they said, oh, no, you already voted.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this is a big warning, too. Even if the voter rolls were clean, if you still have machines, they're just going to go. I can't say it enough, everybody. If you still have machines and online in 2022, this country is gone forever. End quote, fact, done. No, there's no getting around it. Because you know what? They're just going to be so blatant. They're going to be so blatant that they'll just vote. They're just going to flip it. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
When they'll flip a million votes and flip it on its head and say, oh, no, you all voted. Even if the voter rolls are perfect and there's no mail-in votes and they just flip it and say, you know what? You all voted already.
Yeah.
You know, go, no, I didn't. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to go tell Fox
News? Yeah, who are you going to appeal to? You want to comment on any of that before we move on, Kurt?
No, I think it's exactly right. I mean, if either legal votes count and only legal votes count, or we don't have a republic.
Right, right.
Let's go.
And what I just said there, it's like when I say, what are you going to go tell Fox? I mean, I was telling earlier today here, I was on a plane ride with a friend of mine, his family, the other night, and I started telling him things that I've seen with my own eyes now, and evidence that's been uncovered, or evidence that was out there. It's like the just blatant evidence that even that was we found out about that back then. And it'd be like 100,000 votes in Michigan in the middle of the night and all this stuff. And he's going, what? And I go, yeah, that was real. They said it was mail-in votes when they were counted on the morning of the 3rd. Everything I brought up to him, Kurt, he'd go, well, you got to get that to the news and get this thing done. You got to tell somebody. I go, who are you going to tell? We're doing it tonight. We're telling all of you out there. Hundreds of millions of people over these 4 days. Get everybody you need to frankspeech.com. You guys, we have to have a voice. You all need to know about this. By Sunday, we need millions, tens of millions of people watching on Sunday. Because this is, here we're going through the Supreme Court case or complaint. But on Sunday, we're going to go the pathway for what we're going to do. All the things that are the great things going on in our country right now in all the states and what are we going to do? What the plan is to get rid of these machines. We get through this weekend. And, you know, everybody in this country but is going to feel a lot better, I believe, and a lot of hope. Be going, wow, there is hope. We are so blessed on this Thanksgiving Day. I've got to give so much thanks for it to even have all this.
Exactly.
What if we sat here and we didn't have this?
Yeah, what if all these Americans like you and Kurt and so many others who got involved just said, oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, be thankful for all the Americans that got involved.
That got involved. And we've heard it over and over again, the ones that started out and they just got smashed by the media and discredited, or they just got, you know, we had Matt DiPerno on today and all the work they did. Every time they got to a certain place in Michigan, they, you know, attack him.
And he didn't
and
stop.
By the way, you know, we're going to, he'll be back, but we're going to show everybody all the attacks. I mean, he was showing us when we were off camera today. He played some of these horrific messages on his cell phone.
Yeah.
Just horrible messages. Death threats. Violent death threats and stuff. And, you know, I've lived all this stuff, and you wonder what's behind that. And it's not, and then you go, where do these, you know, where is the evil that's out there? And this is, I can't imagine, you know, it's like we're pushed through, though, all of us pushed through. I think this Thanksgiving is going to open the doors that no man can shut.
Yeah. You know,
the open doors no man can shut. That'll be our prayer. Shut doors no man can open, doors no man can shut, because we need to everybody go out there with no fear now. You can't have fear of I just heard, you know, stuff that's manifested from this election of all the things going on, like the TSA now is going to lose thousands of people because they're forced to take the shot and they're not going to do it. Things like that.
Yeah.
But let's keep going.
One thing, if I just add, I think the real question is what are they trying to hide?
Yeah.
So if you look at the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, which is majority Republican, why did they fight that audit and those subpoenas every step of the way?
Yeah.
And then I think you may have seen they were called to testify before the House, and one of the gentlemen readily admitted that they withheld information that was covered by the subpoena. They basically erased it. And he said his excuse was, or they deleted it, they stored it somewhere else, but they made sure that it wasn't turned over. Why is the Wisconsin Election Commission suing former Justice Gableman and trying to stop him from doing his investigation? Why is Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger refusing to even look at Halderman's report showing the vulnerabilities of the Dominion voting machines when he has a fiduciary obligation to his citizens in that state to know what's going on?
Right.
And the professor is raising the alarm and saying, look, I need to show this to CISA. And it's like, why isn't the Georgia Secretary of State even interested to find out what's going on? And Professor Halderman is saying, look, these machines, I can show that they are going to be hacked. Right. And votes.
In fact, to that point.
I just want to say this before I forget.
But what are they trying to hide?
Right. And we're asking that. We're asking all of you out there. Just think right now. We've been asking ourselves this all the way back to November. What if Fox News, who we thought reported news, what if they asked that question?
Yeah.
Can you imagine waking up tomorrow? I'm going to do a plea to Sean, Laura, Tucker, Judge Jeanine, all of you over at Fox. Why, if you're watching, why don't one of you ask that question to the American people when you're on your live show? See if the Murdoch, see if Fox says, oh, you're fired for saying that, for asking that question. What are they hiding? What are they trying to hide? That's a great question. Well, ask Fox. You know, we're pleading to all of the hosts over there that so they sit there and tell us today. Yesterday they told us where Biden was staying on Thanksgiving. You know, I'm asking all of you over at Fox. Shame on Fox. But pretty soon we're going to just wonder why you guys are still staying there and not speaking out and hurting our country by not asking that question. What are you hiding? What are you hiding, Dominion? What are you hiding, Hart, ESNS, all the machines we pay for? We pay for these machines. Are you hiding, Smartmatic?
What are you hiding,
Raffensperger? What are you hiding, Brian Kemp, Doug Ducey? All these people, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, you mentioned the machines, and he mentioned Professor Halderman. Look at this. Professor Halderman testifying in June of 2017 before the Senate Intelligence Committee, listen to what he said, quote, my conclusion, this is in his filing here, my conclusion from that work is that our highly computerized election infrastructure is vulnerable to sabotage and even to cyber attacks that could change votes. These realities risk making our election results more difficult for the American people to trust. I know America's voting machines are vulnerable because my colleagues and I have hacked them repeatedly as part of a decade of research studying the technology that operates elections and learning how to make it stronger. We've created attacks that can spread from machine to machine, like a computer virus, and silently change election outcomes. This puts the entire nation at risk. Right. In close elections, an attacker can probe the most important swing states or swing counties. He said this in 2017, by the way. Right. Find areas with weakest protection and strike there.
He's wrong about one thing. It doesn't have to be a close election here. Donald Trump won this election by millions and millions of votes. When you talk about cyber, we just had Matt DiPerno on today, everybody. If you watch it, when you end up watching this later on a rerun, he was remember that, Brandon?
Yep.
He said, quit thinking of the internet. He had a good point. He said, quit using the word internet. You're not going to beat them. They're going to keep saying it wasn't on the internet. It wasn't plugged in. It wasn't on the internet. And what did he say? He said, it's not your traditional internet. He said, you can have any devices. He told us how just the Antrim County network was right. hooked up to 13 other counties. You remember that?
Right.
13 other counties in Michigan. So if you get into one, you get into all the machines. It's like a web that goes out. And this is in every state that they did. You only had to get in. Do you know, everybody, when we did the cyber symposium, we did a mock election. We did a mock election, and before it got started, like 10 minutes before it's going to start, all of a sudden they come out, hey, Mike, we gotta delay the election. I go, what's going on? They said, a guy hacked in it from his table with a cell phone. Remember that?
Yep.
With a cell phone. And this is not, these machines, whether you say online or not, and I'll bring up Alabama again. I've been down to Alabama, spent a lot of time in Alabama these last couple months. And that, by the way, that attorney general just said, sorry, nothing to see here. I tell him about his Secretary of State, John Merrill, all the ones down in Alabama. I don't know if it's an attitude down there. One of them got up to speak in front of 68,000 people at a rally.
Mo Brooks.
He's out there going, let's forget about 2020, everybody. Let's move on to 2022 and get back the House. Boy, does that sound like a politician. He got booed off the stage. Not off, he doubled down. Said yep. it again, they got booed more. Then he had to, well, maybe we'll look at that. Or something like that.
He said, look at it, but while we look forward.
What's that? Hey, Mike, it's important to recognize, and this is one of the points that Colonel Mills brings out in his declaration, because he was involved with what are called remote access operations. And this is the ability to hack into any kind of computer system and either manipulate, take advantage, do whatever you want to do to advance your interests. And he specifically mentions the breach of Target Corporation, the box store Target, where hackers went through the HVAC system. So you can hack into electronic systems. It doesn't have to be connected to the internet. You can hack in through a power cord. This stuff is so sophisticated, and people don't realize how vulnerable they are from many, many different venues, right. whether it's the internet, whether it's cellular infrastructure modems, or whether it's through a simple power cord.
Right. Well, Kurt, you bring up a good thing, because in our just over the last month, I know when I left Alabama, the Secretary of State, John Merrill, puts out a statement again. Mike was here. We welcomed him. But we told him we have the most secure system here in Alabama. We got our machines. The data comes out, and we take that data, and we bring it right to my office. And he's telling me all this stuff. We're not on the internet. I said, how do you know? He says, well, we custom made our machines. We ordered them custom. They told us they weren't on the internet. Well, then we find out that Alabama and South Carolina and Arkansas. Now, there might be more. We know Oklahoma's just ordered them or is in the process of. I'm telling you, if you live in Oklahoma, You better get a hold of your attorney general and get that thing signed right there. And you better get a hold of your secretary of state and say, we don't want them. They're poll books, electronic poll books. They got in 2019. Now they all went into all the precincts, run from the state down. I had the cyber guys tell me, now it's easy. Now you can control even more. And it's right down to the precinct level. And your vote doesn't mean anything. Ever. It's over. This would be like the, call it the add-on. Boy, if they get rid of the machines, now you have the polling books. Which brings up, Kurt, I was talking to Sean Smith, who's going to be with us in a couple of days here at on the Thanksathon. And he were telling about, because on Sunday, we're revealing the new system to replace the machines. And he was telling me about another system. And it was a very secure machine. And I said, no. I said, there can be no machines. You just brought it up. It doesn't matter. So you're going to say, remember, everybody, we will never, ever say, you know what? Here's a more secure machine. I want to tell you, I'll say it one time like this, everybody. When you have a cyber attack, you remember that Target cyber attack. I remember it very well. Because at MyPillow, we had just went where you could make payments on your products. Well, when that happened, it was a money thing. Who paid for it? All the people that had continuity that had payments like MyPillow, because everybody canceled their cards, and people that these charities out there that people had put a continuity payment on, well, they just canceled your card. But I'll bet they re-upped their cable TV,
right?
But they did not re-up all those things. And now Target, the credit card companies, they paid. It was all a money thing is what I'm getting at. So when you have cyber attacks every day, the one that's listed in here, the biggest one in history, whatever, that the cyber attack there, that was all about money. You can replace it. If you have good geeks over here and you put all this protection on it and you have all this protection, and now the bad guys keep trying to break in. They keep trying to break in. And they finally get through like they did that time at Target. What do? You fix the breach. You fix it. White hat hackers come in there and they look at where did it come from? Where did the cyber come from? Where did the attack come from? They fix it. They put more security, more force fields up. And then they wait for these guys. It's a back and forth, the technology versus technology. But when you attack a country, when you break through and you were planning for a long time and you break through, you lose everything. You just don't lose, oh, I lost this election, better luck next time. It's over. Mm-hmm. There, one way you can solve it is never, ever have a machine again. We get done with these 4 days, and it's the whole quest. Everyone in this country, and I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, if you're a citizen in the United States, actually, if you're watching around the world, if you got machines, hey, Brazil, you need to get rid of your machines before this next election. You're next on the list. And I know they are. They've called with very much concern. And there's other countries where it's too late. It's too late. They've gotten their elections were rigged. You know, people have been cheating in elections since you could vote for three people,
time.
A long time. But when you use, we're in another world now. When you can use computers and a cyber attack, it's over. You know, this is not just, us here trying to tell, we got to be election integrity. I actually don't even like the word election integrity. It's too soft. It's too soft a word, Brandon. It's too soft a word, Kurt. Election integrity. No, I'm here fighting for the biggest crime in the history of the world. We've lost our country if we don't address 2020. The machine's got to be gone. We got to take down, we have to get this complaint to the Supreme Court. We need the attorneys general, do your job, help save our country, and get this thing signed. Everyone out there tonight, I want every one of you to go there, find your state on the complaint page of Frank Speech, find your page, send your email to your attorney general. This should be, it shouldn't matter, Democrat, Republican. It's over. We need to save our country. This isn't a political thing, or Democrat or Republican.
Right.
This is real. It's real. It's here. I'm tired of the media. I don't know what they're going to say tomorrow. You know, Jimmy Kimmel, you can laugh and mock me all you want. It's all funny, right, Jimmy? Well, you know what? You know deep down I'm right. You know deep down everyone's right. In your heart, you know this election was stolen. Jimmy, a guy like you could go a long way and say, you know what? Gee, I got a way down there. I got, you know, I want to help save my country. Maybe somebody like you could come out and say, hey, maybe we should look at this to unite our country. If there's nothing to hide, why wouldn't we do this?
Yep.
If there's nothing to hide. So my plea is out to guys like Jimmy Kimmel that have these millions of people following him and all this stuff and laughing at his jokes and laughing at the garbage that spews out of these late night talk shows. And you know, they're just a step. They're actually a step above. At least they're a little more entertaining than Fox News.
Right. Well, at least they're talking about it.
At least they're talking about it. I give you that. I do give Jimmy Kimmel credit because there's a lot of reason, probably a lot of you out there watching this tonight. It's because he brought it up.
Yeah.
It's like I had to use the bad media before and get attacked for day after day, for months after months. It's over. It's almost coming up on a year now where I've been relentlessly attacked from morning till night. My employees get attacked. My families get attacked. My company gets attacked. Why? Because what, we want to open up these machines? We want to get rid of them forever?
Right.
Ever? What, does everybody like Dominion so much? Are they this big company everybody's so in love with?
Well, let me give you one point
against
this. Look at this, Logan. Professor Halderman testified that, quote, these are not general weaknesses or theoretical problems, but rather specific flaws in Dominion's ICX software. And I'm prepared to demonstrate proof of concept malware that can exploit them to steal elections. He said, Professor Halderman.
He said there, now this Professor Halderman says specific flaws. There's another tamed down word. What is he really saying? They're built to steal elections.
Right.
End of story. You know, just ask Colorado. We're going to have a lot of people from Colorado here this week. And I'll tell you what, when you hear all the stuff that went on in Colorado, they deleted the whole 2020 election. You go to Colorado, you're going, hey, you know, it'd be the most, they should do, if they went to Colorado, no, I don't think you could find one piece of stuff from the evidence anywhere from the 2020
election.
They're
deleting it.
They deleted it all. That's what they do. It's the biggest cover-up for the biggest crime in history.
Then he says, Professor Halderman says, he also testified, quote, informing responsible parties. I love that. Informing responsible parties about the Dominion ICX vulnerabilities is becoming more urgent by the day. Foreign and domestic adversaries who are intent on attacking elections certainly could have already discovered the same problems I did, end quote. And again, this was in 2017.
That actually is from his latest declaration to the court in the Northern District of Georgia that he filed on.
Wow. Oh, so that's his latest. Well, his and latest. I don't know how much longer you guys want to go. We're on page 22.
We're going to go to the
point,
end.
Brandon.
All right. Yeah.
Brandon, there is another point. You should go read his last statement after the one you just read, where he talks about how keeping the public in the dark about this, or keeping this, you know, under seal.
Here we go. Yeah,
there it is. It's
here it is. 60. Professor Halderman testified that Georgia Secretary of State Ratzenberger is refusing to address these issues, along with other defendant Georgia County election officials, has objected to disclosing his report just to CISA, or CISA, that's in the Department of Homeland Security, that supposed to oversee secure elections, leaving Professor Halderman to state that, quote, continuing to conceal these problems serves no one and only hurts voters, end quote.
Right. You know what, right there?
Exactly right.
Did you see the name on there, Ratzenberger? I'm going to appeal to everyone in Georgia. Everyone in Georgia, when you email your attorney general here about this case, I would like you to add one thing in there. And I don't know the attorney general. I assume he's probably a Democrat in Georgia. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. You also appeal to him to go and take a battering ram and arrest Ratzenberger, just like Brian Kemp. You know, arrest them. Why aren't they under arrest? This is what they've done to the people of Georgia. You know, instead you got you go over to Colorado and they're getting battery rams. Their doors broken.
Sharona,
down. Mother's.
She's a mother's for America or Moms for America or something.
Because what? She did nothing.
She's talking about critical race theory, mass mandates, election.
Yeah, she took up so they do that out of fear.
Intimidation.
And the real criminals. Like Ratzenberger hiding stuff from the American people, hiding everything. I mean, it's like anyone would get arrested for that.
Yep.
You would get arrested for hiding out for crimes against humanity.
You would think that your state legislature would impeach you.
Yeah, you would think that. I wonder if Georgia has. I heard they had a Republican legislator, right?
That's what I've heard too.
That they. Yeah, I don't know, Kurt. Do you know if Georgia is it a Republican controlled legislator?
It is. It is.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Reach out in Georgia. Go to your. See how many Republicans actually will come on board to. Get rid of your machines. Get rid of, you know, get rid of Rassenberger and all these people that have corrupted Georgia. I mean, this is terrible.
Yep.
And he's hiding this.
Well, not just Georgia, by the way. You know, Professor Halderman warns that it's 15 other states than Georgia who also are by these states. So the question would be, why aren't every single one of those state legislators calling Professor Halderman to find out exactly what he's talking about, because their elections, according to Professor Halderman, are at risk of being stolen.
Right. Okay. So there you heard it there from Kurt. And there, so there's 16 other states. We should probably get those posted.
15 other states.
Which states are there?
Let me do one more.
I want to do this call to action. Everyone out there, when you go to your you know what? I don't care which states it was. There's 16 of them. When you do your email to your state attorney general today, what I need you to do is take that and put a note on there also and say, hey, we also want you to demand the Halderman report.
Right.
We need the Halderman report brought out.
Released.
Released, right.
Because that judge is not letting it out.
Right. We need that released. So that's very important for all of you to do, okay?
All right, so we'll go to now number 62 on page 23. The number of illegal, now this is talking about Arizona. The number of illegal votes affected by the various constitutional violations far exceed the margins of votes separating the candidates.
This is just Arizona.
This is just Arizona alone, yeah. So, again, we see that, number 61, Arizona has 11 electoral votes with a statewide vote tally of 1,661,686 for Mr. Trump and 1,672,000.
In other words, Donald Trump won by over 10,000 votes, but the number of illegal votes far exceeds what Donald Trump, they say that Biden won.
Right, exactly.
No, actually, Biden won.
Biden won, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That Biden won by, a margin of 10,000 some votes. What the complaint says is they already have the number of illegal votes far exceeds the margin of victory. So there's another state. I think we've went through now three states where the electors can't have to be.
Just with one piece of information.
I was going to say, Mike, you know, I think this point, but this is in relation to the findings from the Maricopa audit. By Cyber Ninjas and Cypher and others.
Right.
And the headline that came out of Fox and every other news organization was that the audit confirmed Biden's victory. And that's flat out misleading, because what everybody ignored were the findings in the audit that showed tens of thousands of illegal and questionable ballots that should at least require further investigation. But there were tens of thousands of illegal ballots already there. And so the equivalent was, although the count may have been showed that the count, you know, was that Biden had, you know, more votes, it didn't go into the fact that those more votes were comprised of tens of thousands of illegal votes.
Right.
And
right,
so
that's right.
The headline that came out of Fox was completely misleading and other news stations. And it's just another example of how when you control information and keep information from people, they don't know what's actually what the truth is.
Right. Mm. Well, and so if you heard everybody, the Arizona, the amount of illegal votes far exceeded the 10,000 vote margin of victory for Biden. Donald Trump won Arizona. Okay. Arizona, pull down those electors. That one Republican you got holding it up there in the Senate, talk to him. We're all reaching out to you. Grow a moral compass and get this pulled down. Or even if you're a Democrat on the Senate, we need to get that pulled down. This is ridiculous. Arizona worked hard on an audit where there's such obstructionists, and from the governor on down, and had to keep going and going and going. And They didn't give up, and even and they didn't even get all the parts. They didn't even get into the routers and all the valid images,
right,
where you would have really had some criminal stuff. You know, more people that have committed crime. That attorney general there, he's investigating all these criminals that deleted this stuff the night before the audit. But you know, the big thing, you know, if you go, I hope he goes in the routers and stuff and gets the cyber information where you can see who did the intrusions, who did the flips. Could it be China?
Yeah. Look at this. Since 1990, this is on page 23, number 63. Since 1990, Arizona law has required that residents wishing to participate in an election submit their voter registration materials no later than 29 days prior to election day in order to vote in that election. Now, I'm going to skip over to number 65 to pick it up and keep it paraphrased here. However, a federal district court violated the Elector's Clause and enjoined that law, extending the registration deadline to October 23rd, 2020. The Ninth Circuit Court stayed that order on October 13th, 2020. And if you go down to number 66, you see a net result that the deadline was unconstitutionally extended from the statutory deadline of October 5th to October 15th, 2021, thereby allowing more than 52,000 registrations in violation of Arizona law. And what was the margin of victory again? 10,457. Yep. Yep. And this is just, again, one example, and you got 52,000 votes right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, in other words, what this complaint is showing, you've got just a few examples in three of these states where it's right here. Here's the evidence. They need to get their electors pulled down. They were all illegally given to, they're saying that their states were good, when in fact each one, and you've got perfect examples here of evidence that's right out here. So they, this really needs to get to the Supreme Court and fast. What else you got there, Brian?
All right, page 26, number 74. The forensic auditors found, this is in Arizona again, found numerous anomalies and outcome determinative discrepancies with the Maricopa County election materials made available to them, including, and I'm going to go down to this one, 23,344 mail-in ballots cast when the registered voter had moved away and where no one with the same surname remained at that address. That 23,344.
Right. The
then you've got 5,295 instances of multiple ballots from the same
right
person. So there you go, Mike.
Yeah. So right there, you got just those mail-in votes and the multiple people voting. That happened in every state, everybody. Every state had this anomaly in history where they just grabbed voters. You know, they don't live there anymore. They're just using names after names. But here's Arizona, just on that alone, pulled down Arizona. And, you know, so now you have three states in here. I think we went through Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Wisconsin, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
It's over. Pull those three states down. Y'all got to get your attorneys general, reach out to your attorney general, and sign that, send him an email right here on Frank's Speech. Send him an email. He needs to get signed on this complaint. This is the people's complaint, as far as I'm concerned. What else? Let's keep going.
All right.
Let's keep going.
On page 28, we see this here, that 17,322 duplicate mail-in voting early ballots by 17,126 voters who voted twice, 16,934 voters did that. Three times, 188 voters, and four times, four voters. So this, again, is in Arizona, and this is from Dr. Shiva, who'll be with us tomorrow,
right,
showing that we've got all these duplicate votes by these people that are voting twice, three times, four times.
This was part of the audit. This wasn't subjective.
Yeah, and this is just Maricopa County.
Right, this is part of the audit. So let's just look at that. 17,322 duplicate mail-in votes. So that means the same person voted twice. Okay? They voted twice. So just if you just have pull them 17,000 out, Arizona, remember Arizona took all week to count the last 2% and stayed at 10,000 votes. Mm-hmm. Very suspicious, right?
And the margin of victory again was 10,457.
Right. So that brings down Arizona. Kurt, you got any comments on that? I mean, it's basically what we have here in the complaint is just what you just grab any line here. It's, 9,589 fewer return envelopes identified as having a signature with Maricopa submitted by signature verification. It just keeps going on. Is this what you're talking about when you say, okay, Fox News said the one thing when they finally spoke up about the election, the 2020 election, after the Maricopa little blip there, yep, Biden, we did a recount, Biden won, blah, 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 two, whatever it was.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about. Right. They completely ignored the findings of the audit.
Right, right.
And it's just like, you know, everybody, the mainstream media, including Fox, ignored the fact that there have been criminal felony charges referred to against the Wisconsin Election Commission. Wow. You know, any one of these allegations, you'll not find any mainstream news organization discussing any of the allegations in this complaint, but many of these are public findings.
Right, right, right. They're public, but the public don't know about it. You know,
right. When I say public findings, I mean findings by officials in positions of authority.
Right. Officials.
Discriminations.
That's right. That there's evidence. You hear that, Alan Duke? You Facebook fact checker? You know what we're gonna do? I'll tell you what we're gonna do. I just thought of this. We're gonna take the complaint. We're going to put it up on Facebook, and we're going to see what Alan Duke has to say about this. Because remember, he's the one that controls our country. He decides for everybody what's false and what's not. So that's a good idea. We'll put this up there. We'll put it, the Supreme Court case. I'll do it tomorrow, and we'll tag it over to Frank's speech, and we'll see if old Alan Duke covers it up.
Good idea.
Or I'll send it over to Lindell TV. He covers that up all the time.
I bet he does.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Duke and everyone, Alan Duke, if you're tuning in, he's the Facebook fact checker for Lead Stories. Him and his buddy over there in Martin or whatever over in Belgium,
Brussels.
Mm-hmm. Brussels, wherever it's at. They decide what's right or wrong for our country.
Which a bunch of their staff has been years at CNN and with the Democrat Party.
All the way back to
being connected to China.
Yeah, connected to China. And good old Alan Duke for how many months now has put all false. Do you know, everybody, when I had that interview, which you can see right here on frankspeech.com, the interview with our real president, Donald Trump, when I put that interview up on my Facebook, on my personal Facebook, first thing Alan Duke went, bam! Was it not an interview with Donald Trump? I think, I don't know what he put. Maybe I typed in interview with our real president, Donald Trump. But he didn't say that's why he covered it up, So I think I did. I think I put another one up where I didn't say that. He still covered it up.
Wow.
Pretty soon I won't even know if it's me. I'll go, hi, I'm Mike Lindell. And he'll go, false, Anyway, let's keep going.
All right, we're on page 29. Look at this one.
I'm going to do that, though, everybody. We're going to put it up there to see if the media suppresses this or if this should go viral for everybody to see. You can go on Frank's speech right here and share it everywhere. But while you're at it, send your attorney general an email. Share it everywhere. Get everybody here at Frank's speech and share the complaint out everywhere. We'll see if Alan covers it up.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Look at number again. We're skipping a lot of stuff. I'm just pulling out highlights. I thought people would really enjoy.
Don't skip highlights. We can have Kurt back. In fact, we're planning on having him back tomorrow, everybody, because there's so much to cover. We want to go through. We're gonna go. We'll get through. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do about 5-10 minutes more here, and we'll have Kurt. Can you come back tomorrow?
Sure thing.
Yes, okay. We'll do that because I don't want to rush through that. This is what we've been waiting for.
Yep.
And I don't want to skip around. Let's keep going in order because everybody, you need to know that this is evidence. This is it. This is our tool right here. This is the start. Let's get our country back.
I'd like to see someone try and refute this. You can't refute these facts.
No, you cannot refute them. You cannot. You cannot.
Look at 79. Georgia has 16 electoral votes with a statewide vote tally of 2,461,854 for Mr. Trump and 2,473,633 for Mr. Biden, a margin of approximately 11,779 votes. Now, that's what the figure you need to remember. Right. Remember, the margin of victory here now is, let's just round it up, 12,000.
Right.
The margin of victory, let's just say, is 12,000 votes. All right. Now, let's go on over to point 83. Okay. As of April 2021, officials at the state, meaning Georgia, and county level in Georgia have failed to produce chain of custody records for more than 355,000 absentee vote by mail ballots deposited in drop boxes located around the state for the election. Well, that's interesting. 355,000, no chain of custody. Where do they come from? Right. Are they legitimate? They don't know. What's the margin of victory? Under 12,000.
Right. And also, it's not in there. We just talked about that famous call where right on their own report from the Secretary of State's office, how many people that were deceased that didn't live there anymore. And by the way, everybody, this is what we go into states and we've done. We went into the states. We've gotten their voter, the registered voters, the people that voted, and then the registration rolls like maybe a month later. Like you say, some states charge. Alabama charges. You know, they're pretty good in Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
I keep mentioning Alabama. We're going to mention Alabama all weekend, okay? And so here, you've got all of these people that the people didn't do. One of the things, I want to say this, I'll bring this up. One of the things, Brandon and Kurt, during November and December, what always bugged me was that it started with Nevada. You know, right away when everything happened, everybody scrambled down there, and I had a couple of people that I knew in Nevada going, you won't believe this, all these people that don't live here, that non-residents that voted. And I thought to myself, it was like in the tens of thousands, I'm going, in Nevada. I'm going, okay, people are genuinely good people. I just couldn't see thousands of people jumping across the border going, I'm going to commit a crime. You know what I mean?
Right.
It didn't make sense. And I'm telling everybody, that right there is the evidence. That's pretty good. It doesn't make sense, and that is the evidence. Because you know what? It didn't happen. These people didn't go jump the borders and do all these illegal things. Their names were used, pulled from the voter rolls. It didn't matter if they didn't live there. Nothing mattered. And look what you have. That's why you have in Georgia 355,000 absentee votes by mail that nobody knows where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that. You guys, all of these states we're talking about that Donald Trump won, that they're saying that they had to bring in all this stuff to react and bring in all these votes and inflate this and shut everything down and 2 a.m. to do this. That was a reactionary thing, because what was set is all these, this big steal, this big, all these, all the planning they did, it wasn't enough. They had to make it up because, man, I didn't expect Donald Trump was going to get all these votes.
Right.
You know, and that's it. It's very simple when you look at it. It really is. They're just using your vote, you know, or using somebody's vote that doesn't live there anymore. They're just names, everybody. People didn't win. I'll never forget when old Lindsey Graham made a big joke out of it. And shame on you, Lindsey Graham. Disgusting is what you are. He makes a joke out of it. Remember at those hearings, he comes back. Me and old Trump, we had a good run. He goes, dead people, I couldn't even find one. Remember that?
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to say. Right on them voter rolls. This just came from the Secretary of State's office. Do you know what? Look around. You should see the people that are deceased on everybody's voter rolls that voted. Their names voted. It's all over the place in every state. You go to Georgia, go to Wisconsin. They just use their name. It doesn't mean they voted. Their name voted. They needed a placeholder. So it's, I just can't believe that it's almost, it defies logic, doesn't it, Kurt, that you... That people, I'm glad you put it in, you know, that this complaint, it's in black and white. I don't ever want to see the media saying there's no evidence ever again. If you're at home, you run off a copy like this and carry it with you like a pocketbook and go, no, there is evidence there. You know, we're a little late here on, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, but I got four more days here, and you just go with your argument over dinner this afternoon, say, hey, page 62, look at that.
Yep. Let me do one more to close this section out. Yep. Let's look at number 84. In addition, Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, without legislative approval, unilaterally abrogated Georgia statutes governing the date a ballot may be opened, and the signature verification process for absentee ballots. Now look, here's the state law, and what it does prohibits the opening of absentee ballots until after the polls open, when? On election day. In April 2020, however, the state election board adopted Secretary of State rule, and it mentions it, processing the ballots prior to election day. The rule purports to authorize county election officials to begin processing absentee ballots up to 3 weeks before election day. Outside parties were then given early and illegal access to purportedly defect ballots to, quote, cure them in violation of the state law. Can you explain what all that means?
What that means is if a ballot did not have the appropriate signature or other requirements, they were opened early, and then you had different third parties go and cure them. Cure them means that they allegedly would go to the voter's address and try to remedy the defects in the ballot. Now, whether we know that they actually met with the real voter and cured those defects or did it themselves, I mean, I don't think anybody really knows.
Right.
But the fact is that this allowed, it was not allowed by law, and you had third parties running around trying to fix these defects at a time that it was not allowed by law, I would say.
Right, okay,
so,
Kurt.
But he broke the law.
Right, well, that's what I'm going to ask. So, Kurt, before we let you go here till tomorrow, I want to ask you this, kind of wrap it all in a bow here. You just said that's illegal. Okay, you being a lawyer, doesn't it, in your mind, I mean, how do you sit back and look at this and you watch all these illegal things that were done? It's like all of a sudden everything that, if someone says it's illegal, they do it anyway. I mean, how do you explain that? Being a lawyer, was it very frustrating watching this all unfold and going, hey, you just broke a law, you just broke a law, you just broke a law, you just broke a law? I mean, is that bizarre?
Well, it's frustrating being a lawyer who believes in the rule of law, but I think it's important to also point out that every one of these changes reduced the integrity of the ballot. They made it easier to cheat, is the bottom line. If there's a uniform pattern, not one of these changes in the law tightened things up. They all went in one direction. Whether right. It was the use of drop boxes, whether it was a reduction of signature requirements, whether it was the additional time to cure defective ballots. Every single one of these measures made it easier to cheat. None of them made it more difficult. So you have to ask yourself why.
That's right. That's right. Well, I can't wait to get started again tomorrow, but I want to tell everybody too, before we go, I will tell you this. All the things we're talking about here, when you say that this made it easier to cheat, this made it easier to cheat, if you can tighten all that up, but if you still have machines, your country is gone forever. That's why you have, two things going on, Kurt. I know you and I talked about this one day. One of them was, do you see any Democrats that are running in 2022 that even care about what's going on? They just keep wrecking our country. Why? Because they know they're going to win anyway. Is that correct, Kurt?
Well, my point with that is, the old saying is that politicians are worried about being reelected. They know that the policies that they're implementing now are wildly unpopular. But why would they keep pursuing them?
Right.
The Democrats know they're going to get crushed. If you look at today's polling in the 2022 right. election. So why are they continuing to dig their own hole?
Right. Because I'll give the answer to that, everybody. Because they got machines here it doesn't matter. You got people like Brian Kemp. Everybody remember when I got kicked out of the governor's little party down in Tennessee? The governor's, and then I find out that Here I'm at the governor's convention that I was invited to, and I find out Doug Ducey's in charge of it, and Brian Kemp's in charge of the Election Integrity Committee. And then over in Georgia, you see old Brian over there going, hey, we're going to tighten up, and I'm gonna tighten up these election integrity law. I'm going to tighten up the election. We're not going to have this. So you're going to, in other words, they let everything go, everybody. And and don't let them fool you and say, we're going to have election integrity, and we're going to scale it back to just this here, mail-in voting for just this group or whatever it is, but we still have electronics and machines. If this piece is in there, it's over. Everybody, lights out. The lights go out in the United States. And just like Ronald Reagan said, then what?
They go out everywhere.
So, Kurt, thanks for coming on. And we will see you tomorrow. So far, this has been amazing. I want everybody out there to read about what we talked tonight. And we're going to have Kurt back tomorrow to keep going through this important, important historical document. What you can all do is reach out here. Get this case. Share it everywhere. Share the complaint everywhere. And remember to email your AG. It's very simple. You go to it. You hit the button. Why don't you show them?
Let me just show my screen here, Logan. Let me show them. If they go to frankspeech.com, okay, let me show you. Go down to the banner here.
Right here.
Supreme Court complaint.
Click there.
Okay, you click on it. Brings you there.
There.
And now if you see here, it says view complaint. So here you can choose your state. Of your, you know, whichever state you're in, to send the email. Let's just pick one
Pick Alabama.
Okay.
Everybody should make sure you pick
Alabama.
Twice, and make sure you pick Alabama.
Then you click,
they don't have any mistakes there.
Then you click build my email, and then it'll build everything for you. Right. And you open your, click that,
and it'll put your extra message in there.
Yeah.
We brought a generic one, but you definitely need to put your extra message in there if that specific to your state.
Now,
like if you're an attorney general in Georgia, you might want to mention Brad Rassenberger.
Yeah. Then if you come back to this page we were at, so again, we just are at.
There's viewing the complaint.
We're just at frankspeech.com where you view the complaint. Click here. Then again, then you say view this complaint, which is what we've been going through.
Right.
You click on it. There it all is.
Right.
Now you can send this to your print shop like I did.
Well, or show them how to share it, or you can share it everywhere, everybody. You can go to you can print it, but you can certainly share this page if you go back.
If you go back to that, and you see all these buttons down here.
Share it right there on all those platforms. Yep. You know, we even have old Zuckerberg's platform up there that we still have to.
And then here, view the exhibits. Here are the exhibits he's talking about. So look, these are all hyperlinks. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, everybody, this is what we're going to go through, too.
So we got a lot to do.
This is what we'll go through tomorrow. These are all links.
Here's that DNI letter. Right. So we talked about the DNI letter.
Wow.
There it is.
Wow. So, everyone, Kurt, thanks. We'll see you tomorrow. And thanks. Thank you, everybody. Let's all pray tonight and give thanks. It's been an amazing Thanksgiving, Brandon.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.